So Andy's explained that we're doing a summer series over the summer. People come and go on holiday, don't they? They're not here every week. But just to put it into context, we're looking at life verses that feed our souls and help us in our walk with Jesus and perhaps give us confidence about what we really believe in. So I think 3 weeks ago, Andy talked about having real confidence and assurance of our salvation. And last week, Lalu, who I listened to online yesterday, talked about having real confidence that actually God will guide us in our lives. Amen. And God can give us just guidance about everyday things, big things, little things, and having real confidence about guidance. And this morning, that's the title of my talk this morning. How can we have real confidence in prayer and answered prayer? So how can we be really assured that not only God will hear our prayers, but actually he'll answer our prayers? So I'm hoping in the next 20 minutes or so that we'll get an understanding of that, and we'll leave here different because we've looked at a great life verse. So that is the life verse we're looking at. So John 16:24. And what we're going to do in a minute, I'm going to explain to you the context of that verse. But then it'd be really good if we read that verse a few times and actually tried to memorize it. So when we walk out the door in, 40 minutes time, we'll actually have that imprinted on our hearts and we'll really know that verse off by heart. So just to put it into context, these were words that Jesus himself actually spoke. He said these words, and he said it the day before that he was going to go to the cross, that he was going to be crucified. And he spoke it to his disciples. So he was with his disciples, and he spoke these words. And what he was basically saying to his disciples, this is the night before his crucifixion, he said that I'll be leaving you, and there'll become a time when I won't be with you anymore. But actually, after my death, the Holy Spirit will come. So that was the context he was saying these words in. And on verse 7, a little bit earlier on in this chapter, he said, "But very truly I tell you, it is for your good that I'm going away. And unless I go away, the Advocate, which is the Holy Spirit, will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you." And then in verse 13, just a bit before he said these words, he said that when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all truth. So he's talking about his crucifixion. He's talking about leaving his disciples. He's talking about the Holy Spirit coming and giving people real truth. And then he's saying these words. So are you up for reading these words together?
Yeah.
Okay, so here we go then. John 16, verse 24. "Until now, you have not asked for anything in my name. Ask and you will receive, and your joy will be complete." Should we do it again? John 16:24. "Until now, you have not asked for anything in my name. Ask and you will receive, and your joy will be complete." Well, it's going to get a bit harder now. Okay, so here we go. John 16:24. Together. "Until now, you have not asked for anything in my name. Ask and you will receive, and your joy will be complete." And again, John 16:24. "Until now, you have not asked for anything in my name. Ask and you will receive, and your joy will be complete." One more time. Okay, so here we go, guys. John 16:24. "Until now, you have not asked for anything in my name. Ask and you will receive, and your joy will be complete." But anybody really brave? Can they say it?
No.
Hey, go for it.
John 16:24. "Until now, you have not asked for anything from me. Ask and you will receive, and your joy will be complete."
Let's give her a round of applause. Very impressed. Well done. That's brilliant. So I don't know about you, but verses like this can be really uplifting, can't they? But also, they can raise a lot of questions. So I don't know about you, but I think there'll be a kind of spectrum of response to that verse. And there'll be some people sitting here this morning thinking, "Do you know what? That's the word of God. I know it. It just says, ask in my name and you will receive. Yeah, I believe that. And yes, that's where I'm at the moment." There may be other people on the other side of the spectrum that actually think, okay, I know it's the word of God. I know, Jesus, you said those words, and I believe them. I believe their truth. But actually, my experience is, actually, sometimes I seem to ask in your name. I'm praying. I'm doing it faithfully. But actually, my prayers aren't answered. So it kind of leaves a little bit of tension inside me. And then probably, if we're honest, we'll be somewhere on that spectrum. There'll be people that will remember miraculous times of answers to prayer when they prayed. And yeah, instantly your prayer was answered. Or maybe a week later or 2 weeks later, we look back and think, actually, God was in that situation and we see an answer to prayer. So my guess is that across the room this morning, and I count myself here, we at times will be on different points on that spectrum in terms of how we respond to that verse. So what I thought we'd do, just for about 20 minutes, is perhaps look at four frequently asked questions and then unpick the truth behind those questions and try and see some truth behind those this morning. You know, and also I think with a verse like that, we can read things into it that perhaps aren't there. You know, is Jesus saying to his disciples, until now you haven't prayed properly, but now there's going to come a time where you will pray properly. But then we know that he sent his disciples out and actually they healed the sick, they set people free from demons, so they were clearly praying, but are they not really praying properly until he said these words? Is he saying, ask for anything, and as long as you say, in my name, you'll receive it, like some kind of magic formula? Is that what he's saying? Is he saying, you will receive exactly what you're asking for? You know, ask for anything in my name, and you will receive. Or does he mean you're going to receive exactly what you're asking for? Or will you receive something different or something better? Or, you know, these are the kind of things that we may read into that verse. So what I'm going to do is let's pray, and then I'm going to perhaps put up some questions, and hopefully in the next 20 minutes or so we'll answer them. So Heavenly Father, I want to thank you for life verses like this. Thank you, Lord, that we can memorize this verse and we can remember it on our hearts and be changed by you. And Lord, I want to thank you for miracle answers to prayer that we've seen in our lives, in this church, and we can remember. And I want to thank you for, you know, the privilege of praying to you and the wonderful power of prayer. And I pray this morning that sometimes the questions that we have will drive us closer towards you. And Father God, I pray that your Holy Spirit will continue ministering to us this morning about situations, about prayers, maybe unanswered prayers that we're sitting with this morning in our lives, that we keep praying and maybe actually you haven't answered yet, or you haven't answered. And I pray for that. I pray that your Holy Spirit will come this morning and meet us in our need. Amen. So here we go. These are the four questions that I came up with. Should we have a look at those now? So how can I be confident that when I pray, God will hear me? Am I just praying into an empty vacuum? Or will he hear my prayers? How confident can I be? Second question, when I ask in his name and do that faithfully and genuinely, why does it sometimes not seem to work? Why sometimes do you answer my prayers or seem to answer them miraculously, but then other times it doesn't seem to happen like that? And then finally, what's the last question? Yeah, how should I respond when perhaps my prayers aren't answered? How should I be responding? So here we go. Let's look at the first fact. And there's some verses up there. But the first fact is this. We can absolutely approach God's throne with confidence. We can go to him, get right into his presence, so he can speak to us, we can speak to him, he can hear us, and we can be really, really confident about that. So that's the first fact I want you to think about. And there's some great verses there. So therefore, since we have a great high priest who has ascended into heaven, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold firmly to the faith we profess. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to empathize with our weaknesses, but we have one who has been tempted in every way, just as we are, yet he did not sin. So let us therefore approach God's throne of grace with confidence, that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. So that's a great verse from Hebrews. Could have picked loads of verses, just picked another one from Philippians, chapter 4, verse 6. Do not be anxious about anything. But in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, read it all, present your requests to God. And I think those verses just again remind us that we have a Heavenly Father who welcomes prayer, wants us to commune with him, wants us to talk to him and listen to him and get right into his very presence. And I love those verses because actually it recognises that spectrum of life, doesn't it? talks about anxiety, talks about worry, doesn't it? Talks about weaknesses that we experience, talks about being tempted. And I love it. Even in all those circumstances, in our time of need, it's actually encouraging us more at those times, go to God in prayer, get close to Him, have confidence to go right into His presence. So be encouraged by that. Remember with thanksgiving, I think sometimes we forget that, but it's encouraging us. Do pray, and I think it's saying, I will hear, I will be with you, you can come right into my presence. So that's the first fact. We can approach our Heavenly Father in prayer with absolute confidence, and we can be assured that we can be right in His presence, and He'll love the fact that we've gone to Him, and He will listen to us, and He will engage with our prayers. So that's the first thing. Does God hear my prayers? Yes. Okay, what about the second one? What's all this about, you know, in my name? Sometimes it seems to work, sometimes it doesn't. What's going on here? And I think the second fact is that we can develop an intimate relationship with our Heavenly Father and boldly ask Him things. So to pray in Jesus' name isn't a magic word. It's not, you know, I want this in Jesus' name, it's going to happen. But it's more of a mindset that we must adopt when we're praying to Jesus and God. We must know so intimately the mind and the heart and the will of Jesus in whatever situation we're praying about, that the words we speak are the very words that Jesus Himself would speak. So let's look at a couple of scriptures. And again, there's loads we could look up, but just for time, let's look at John 15 and then 1 John 5. So in John 15, it says, if you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. This is to my Father's glory, that you bear much fruit, showing yourself to be my disciples. And the little word at the beginning of the sentence is if. And that's a challenge, isn't it? But it's something we can grow into. If you remain in me, and my words remain in you. 1 John 5. This is the confidence we have in approaching God, that if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. And if we know He hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have what we have asked of Him. So that's a wonderful challenge, isn't it? To remain in Him, to have the confidence to ask anything according to His will, and we know that prayer will be answered. And it's an opportunity for us to develop Him. And I read an analogy about this, and I don't know if it's helpful to you, but I found it quite helpful. But when an ambassador goes to a foreign country, they are representing their king and queen, aren't they? And they're speaking, the words that they speak would be the words that the king and queen would speak. They're seen as that kind of person. And the leaders of the other countries they're visiting assume that, okay, when the ambassador speaks, you're speaking the words of the king and queen, the words that they themselves would say. So obviously then the ambassador has to be quite certain that they know exactly what the king or queen would say, that they'd have the mindset of the king or queen, they understand, you know, who they're representing. And we've seen recently that ambassadors can cause a lot of problems when perhaps they speak out of turn or they speak things that weren't possibly what they should have said. You know, it can ruin treaties, it can create problems between countries. So to be a good ambassador, the ambassador needs to know the heart and the mind of their king and queen so intimately that the two minds are one. And that's our aim in prayer. So praying in His name is not a magic formula, but it's an expression of the attitude and the heart of our position in Christ. It goes back to what Andy said 3 weeks ago. We're assured by our salvation. When we pray in Jesus' name, we pray based on our salvation in Him, according to His will, and therefore we can pray with great authority. And such a prayer brings glory to the Father. So that's a little bit about praying in Jesus' name. Okay, what about, you know, sometimes it seems to work, sometimes it doesn't. Sometimes I've had a kind of supernatural answers to prayer. Sometimes it takes a bit longer. There may be even prayers in this room that we're still waiting to be answered. What about this kind of apparent inconsistency in how we pray? And I think the third fact I'd like to say is this. So it's all about trust and remembering that God has an eternal perspective. And we see the world through our own human eyes and minds. But God actually, you know, He's the beginning, the end. He's even our lives, however long they're going to be, are just a drop in the ocean into the eternal perspective that God has. So we can read those verses there. Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us. So even when we pray, he can do so much more than probably even the things we're praying about. And we all know, those of us who know Trinity well, know that just over a year ago, we were praying about a gift day in this church, weren't we? We were praying for £40,000. And you look around the room and think, where's that going to come from? But that's what we were praying for, a big miracle in a gift day, £40,000. And Duncan, we know the story, prompted by the Holy Spirit, went over to Barrett Homes, said, can I speak to the site manager? Even getting onto the site was probably a miracle in itself. Spoke to the site manager, brought him over here and said, would you be prepared to give us a disabled toilet? And the site manager looked around the building and said, we can do so much more than that, immeasurably more. Probably didn't use those words, but that was the sentiment. And probably we've got over £100,000 of work done in this building. And as well, we also raised £40,000 almost to the penny. And I think that was a miracle, wasn't it, in this building, in this church, the very church that we go to. So that, I think, reminds us about answers to prayer, that sometimes they could be way more than what we'd even dream or imagine. We pray to a good father, and that's what Matthew 7 is all about. Which of you, if your son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for fish, will give him a snake? If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask him? So we know we're going to a good father, and we know he wants to bless us. What about the timing thing? So I've got a couple of examples. Quite often when I look back in my life, God's guided me in my career. And I don't know if you pray these prayers, but you know, when I kind of thought it was time to move on from the work position that I was in, I'd always pray, God, I want you to be involved in this. I don't want to take a job because I think it's a good idea. I literally prayed that prayer. If it's right, would you open the door? If it's not right, would you shut the door? And that's always been my prayer. And I think the second job that I got when I came to London, I ended up in a really tough school in Tottenham. And it was tough. Literally, I come home in tears on day one thinking, how am I going to get through this? And it was challenging. I was picking up the pieces from a member of staff who hadn't been around for a while, and the children were quite challenging. They were from quite tough backgrounds. And I thought, God, I prayed that prayer and you opened that door. Have you got it wrong? And at the time I thought God had got it wrong. But looking back 10, 15, 20 years later, I know that was a great grounding for me to learn how to be patient and kind and good and trust in him and develop my natural skills of managing children and all sorts of things like that, engaging children who perhaps haven't got much of a hope and a future for their future and actually helping them learn. So actually, it was the right job, but I didn't realise it was the right job until much later. Another example. So I'm now a head teacher, but the hardest job that I found to get was being a deputy head teacher. And I applied for about 6 or 7 different positions. Did the paperwork, applied, got interviewed, went through to day 2, often kind of got pipped to the post. And I know Caroline found it more frustrating than me, but actually my prayer was, God, open the right door. And eventually he opened the door at a school in Hemel Hempstead School. On paper, I wasn't getting paid a lot more because I was in inner London going out to Hertfordshire. But it was the door that God opened. I did that job and I worked with a guy called Alan Gray. Now he's gone on to manage Sandringham School, which is a top performing school in the country. And 2 years ago, he got Head Teacher of the Year award. Now I had the privilege of working with him at Hemel Hempstead School. He was the head teacher there and God got it right. Okay? Surprisingly, God got it right. I had the privilege of working with this head teacher who's gone on to be the head teacher of the year. And it was a great grounding for me. And again, the timing thing, the doors opening, the doors shutting. So just a couple of little examples. We go to a really, really good God who knows what's best for us. And at the time, sometimes we think he's got it wrong, but actually he does know what's best. Okay. Fact 4. So this was about, how do I handle it when prayers don't seem to be answered? Okay. We've read that verse, John 16:24. Until now, you've not asked for anything in my name. Ask and you will receive and your joy will be complete. That's the truth. But actually, how do we handle it when our experience is actually, do you know what? I've been praying a prayer for weeks, for months, for years. And I think there's people in this church who've been praying for decades. and maybe they're still not seeing their prayer answered. How do we handle it? And I think there's a lovely story in Luke. Okay, I'm sure we've all read it, but there was a couple that are being described in Luke called Zechariah and Elizabeth. Zechariah was a temple priest, a really holy man. He was known for being a faithful servant, a really humble, holy, wonderful man, married to a lovely woman. Again, you know, they were held as being a very righteous, very faithful couple. But they were also described as a childless couple. And wow, to have to live with that, particularly probably in that culture, it's bad enough today, isn't it? If you're kind of struggling to have children. We know probably all got people that have struggled to have children and carry that tension in their lives. But in those days, you wanted heirs. You wanted young children to look after you in your old age. And in verse 7, they were described as childless. And they were both described as very old. Now, I don't want him to fall into the trap that Laulu had last week when he thought very old was if you're in your 30s and 40s, right? So I'm going to go very, very old. I'm going to go 80s and 90s, all right? I think I'm safe there. So, I don't know, Laulu, that was quite funny, that. Clearly, we're all past it by the time we get to about 45, aren't we? But so if you can imagine this couple in their 80s and 90s, let's assume they're that old. How long do you think they'd be praying that prayer to have children? You know, had a day gone past when Elizabeth hadn't got up in the morning and thought, God, what are you doing? You know, everybody else around me is having children. Had a day, had an hour gone past when she's thinking, you know, I think I'm following you faithfully. And what happens? An angel comes to Zechariah and he says, do not be afraid. Your prayer has been heard. Elizabeth will bear you a son and you're to call him John. You can read the rest. So if that's not a call to persevere in prayer, I don't know what is. So I think that's just the answer. Just persevere. God knows best. He's got an eternal perspective, and trust in him and persevere. Okay, just to end, a few practical tips which hopefully might be helpful in developing more confidence in our prayer. And I call it aligning ourselves with God. So if you're not completely confident that what you're praying about is what Jesus himself would pray, sometimes it's best to add a little caveat. Now, hopefully you won't just see it as a cop-out, but it's a way of expressing yourself to God. It's saying, look, God, this is on my heart. This is what I'm struggling with. This is what I want. And we're happy, you know, God's happy to hear that. This is what I want. Let's be intentional about it. And I know people have also called us to be intentional about certain dates. This is what I want by this time. That's fine. But also align yourselves with his will as well. So I'm going to give you a couple of really simple examples. Okay, so this is a really simple example. We may have times when we don't sleep very well. So God, would you help me sleep tonight? Would you give me a good night's sleep? It's a simple prayer. God should answer a prayer like that. But let's add on, but if not, let's read the rest. Help me to have enough energy tomorrow to be pleasant and hardworking anyway, to be a shining light for you tomorrow anyway. Is it a cop-out or is it actually saying, look, this is what we want, but God, I trust in you and I trust in your will. Let's do another one. God, please help my child get over this sickness and feel better. What God wouldn't want a child to get better? It's a tough question to ask. And one day we'll look Jesus in the eye and we'll ask him some of these tough questions. But when we pray that prayer, we're saying we want our child to get better. But if not, help us to trust in you and be patient with each other. And, you know, we could look at loads more examples. I'm sure you can think of a few in your own lives that you may have prayed. But this is the ultimate one. This is a prayer that Jesus prayed, isn't it? The ultimate alignment prayer. And he prayed this a day after saying John 16:24. So he's in, or I think it might have been the same day, later that evening, in the Garden of Gethsemane. So he knows he's going to be tortured and killed on a cross, the most cruel death that the Romans could ever invent or think of. What's his prayer? What's his heart? My Father, if it is possible, may this cup be taken from me. That's his prayer. But if not, he actually says, yet. What does he say? Not as I will, but as you will. And I kind of think, okay, if Jesus could pray those prayers, I can humble myself and pray those prayers as well. So that's a little tip, maybe, if you're struggling with how to pray. And two words that I'd like to leave you with. So Acts, remember Acts, and remember yawn. Okay, so two words this morning, Acts and yawn. And since coming to Trinity, and we've been here, I don't know, 10, 12 years now, I've really learned how to pray well. And I think Duncan and the way the other leaders in this church lead prayer meetings is brilliant. And they follow Acts. And they follow that little pattern. So Friday mornings, some of you come and join us there. We pray for an hour every Friday morning. And Duncan always says, let's just start by worshipping Jesus. Let's just start by adoring him, giving him the glory. And we spend a lot of time doing that. Even though it's a prayer meeting, that's what we do. We don't do so much public confession, but that's the attitude. We're coming, we're confessing, we're asking him to fill us with his Holy Spirit and clothe us again in those clothes of righteousness. We often thank him. There's so many things that we sometimes forget to thank God for. Little things, big things, everyday things, miracles. Okay, but thanking him. And do you know what? After 55 minutes of the hour's prayer meeting, we've almost forgotten what we kind of wanted to ask him about. But when we actually get to the supplication, so making the specific request, we're in such a good place. We've aligned ourselves so completely with him that it just is, do you know what, God? These are the things we wanted to ask you about, but we're going to leave it with you kind of thing. And we do see miracles happen. Okay, I'm going to give you one example. So recruitment in education is difficult, and in certain subjects it's almost impossible. So science, to recruit science teachers is quite tricky. You put out a national advert, you're lucky if you get one applicant. And particularly in Hertfordshire, the housing's just as expensive, and you can earn £5,000-6,000 more just by going 2 miles down the road to in or out of London. So it's difficult. And at the end of a spring term, one of my best science teachers left. They saw the dream job somewhere in inner London, went off to their dream job. So we're just praying on a Friday morning, God, would you bring science teachers back to Bushmead School or to Bushmead School or whatever and fill this vacancy? You know, science is a really important subject. And we prayed towards the end of the prayer meeting. And my first email at 7:30 that morning was the guy that had just left saying, please can I come back to your school? I know it's impossible. I know you filled my post or probably have filled my post, but can I come back? And actually, I'm happy to come back on less money as well. And that for me was a miracle prayer. So we have blessed him since. We were helping him out. But you know, just everyday things, miracle prayers can happen. Okay, so what's yawn? And I think, Tim, you preached on prayer, I believe, it's the 40 Days of Prayer series, I think it was this, and you kind of alluded to us that actually there are different ways that God can answer prayer. Make your request, but actually God can sometimes say, yes, you've got it. Sometimes he can say, you haven't got it, but I'm going to give you an alternative answer. Sometimes he can say, wait, and sometimes actually he can say no, whether it's no, not yet, or no, actually, it's not right for you. So again, remember yawn. There's different ways that God will answer prayer. Has he heard your prayer? Yes. Is he responding to it? Yes. But remember yawn. And the whole point of this summer series is that we actually respond to some of these life verses. And I just want to ask you now just to think, how are we going to respond to perhaps the worship, the words that have been shared this morning, and what I've perhaps shared with you? So in a minute, I'm going to hand over to Andy to kind of wrap up the response. But are you happy to stand? And when I was on holiday, I was chatting with Jake, my son, and we were just talking about times when actually God has demonstrated his supernatural power in both our lives. And it was quite good fun reminiscing and remembering times when God has come and worked supernaturally instantly. And it's a really small example, but it's an example that I've never forgotten. And 30 years ago, Caroline and I went to a church meeting, a bit like this one, and we heard about supernatural God. We were reminded about God working instantly and supernaturally. And I had a really bad ulcer in my mouth. It's a minor thing, it's almost embarrassing to say it, but it was an ulcer, it hurt, the skin was all ulcerated. And I just said to Caroline, oh, just pray for me to be healed. And she prayed, and I opened up my mouth and the skin was completely and utterly perfect. And that is a miracle that God did in my life, and I've never forgotten. So I always am reminded that God is a God of miracles. Sometimes it seems to work, sometimes it doesn't, but God is a God of miracle. Will, who we know in our church, Will and Lucy, he gave me a book to read on holiday. It's called Faith Like Potatoes, about a very famous South African evangelist, but actually a farmer, a real simple guy who lives by faith, who goes and evangelizes to thousands of people in South Africa and in some of the African countries just north of South Africa. And he's seen amazing miracles. He prays a lot for people. He's seen withered arms that have been damaged in accidents restored to full health. He's prayed for people in wheelchairs. One guy was shot by a police officer, and the bullet went into his spine, I think damaged his spine. He couldn't walk. He's in a wheelchair. And he asked him, "Have you forgiven the police officer that shot you?" And he said, "Yes." And then he prayed, and the guy got out of his wheelchair and walked. So people throwing away crutches. And it really stirred my faith to, again, remember that God is a God of miracles. And, yeah, in that book, he said, "Is everybody healed?" "No." And one day I'll look Jesus in the eye and I'll ask him, "Why wasn't everybody healed?" And he'll get the answer. But will it stop him praying for miracles? No, it won't. And that really stirred me. I told you the story about that science teacher. Another little example. So I was at prayer and fasting with Duncan, big meeting, gathering of NFI leaders up the A1 somewhere. And at the end of the meeting, they said, "We feel called to pray for allergies." And I think that was the time that Duncan went forward. As you may know, he had a really severe fish allergy. Literally, a fish was in the room. He started, his skin was being affected. His eyes were watering, whatever. He had symptoms of being allergic to fish. Couldn't eat fish. If he ate fish, even accidentally, he had to stab himself with an anaphylactic pen. Otherwise, he could literally choke, stop breathing, you know, really serious. So his mate next to him nudged him and said, "You should go forward." So he went forward, prayed, miraculously healed from that allergy. He tested it. He actually sat down at home with his anaphylactic pen and tasted some fish, put it on his tongue, really anxious about it, completely and utterly healed. In that same meeting, and I'm sharing this so I'm honest with you, I thought, "Do you know what? I've got an allergy. I've had hay fever all my life. But you know what, God, I've been praying so many times for hay fever, I'm not going to go forward. I just, for some reason, you don't seem to want to heal me, so I'm going to just stay where I am." And we're in an air-conditioned big building. I don't think it was a particularly sunny day or pollen-filled day, but literally at that moment, eyes streaming, nose running, throat burning, and God was reminding me that I had an allergy, and he wanted me to step forward. Was I healed from hay fever? I don't think I was. I think I was partially healed, but God was reminding me, "I'm a God of miracles, and don't you dare not trust in me. Keep trusting in me." I think that's what God was saying to me then. So I'm just sharing those things with you, just to perhaps stir a bit of faith in the room. And when I was away, I was given a picture, and I believe it's right to share it this morning. It may even be somebody who's going to listen to this online and hear this picture. But I was given a picture of an oyster. And if you know anything about oysters, I think we all know this, that an oyster, a pearl is created in an oyster from an irritation. So a piece of grit gets in the oyster, and the way the oyster deals with it, it wraps around a substance which then creates this beautiful pearl. And what I wanted to say to you this morning, I feel it's possibly for somebody in this room, possibly for somebody not here today, but I just want to share with you, if you are irritated a bit in prayer, if something in your life is a bit of an irritation and you're struggling with it, can I share that picture with you? That actually God is creating, you might not even realise at the moment, but God is creating a beautiful pearl around this irritation that's going on in your life. And I just ask you just to be open to the Holy Spirit. And if that is you, at the end of the service, turn to the person next to you. If you've come with a loved one, and just say, "Will you pray for me in that situation?" Or come down the front. I'll be around at the end. I'd love to pray with you. So as we stand, perhaps the band could come back. I'm going to hand over to Andy now. And I just encourage you, there may be other prophetic words which are being given in this place. And God wants us to leave here different because we've met with him this morning. So be open to him. Thank you.